Hey, this is Jeff Pilson of a lot of different bands, and you're watching CMS TV.
Here we go. It is Chris Aiken Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken. And today on the show, we have one of the busiest guys in the history of rock and roll, I think. It seems like every time I turn around, there's basically three names that come out of Frontiers Records, and they seem to come out with something every month. That would be Alessandro Del Vecchio, Jeff Scott Soto, and this guy right here, Mr. Jeff Pilson. Jeff, how are you, man?
Good. I thought you were going to say Jeffrey Steven Pilson, because that's my middle name, but okay.
Well, Jeff, it's great to talk to you once again. And like I said, man, you are busy as busy could be. Two releases right now. Big Foreigner tour going on right now. Production like crazy. You stay busy, my friend.
I do indeed. I mean, listen, I love music. I'm fortunate I get to make it. I'm passionate about it. I've got a beautiful studio, so why not?
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, let's start with Revolution Saints, because I think that one came out first. New album, Against the Wind, came very, very fast on the back of Eagle Flight. Talk a little bit about that. Were these new songs, or were these songs that you guys felt you could have used but didn't have room to use, or what were these?
In honesty, when I joined the band, the songs for both the records that I've played on so far were kind of already in place. Okay. They were all kind of there, and there was a plan. Alessandro was very organized, and there was the plan to record the first one and then record the second one. So he kind of knew all the songs were there. It was all kind of ready to go. I just had to slip in and play bass. So as far as the distribution of the songs, I'm not really privy to that because I wasn't there for that. All the songs were in place, and there you go.
Right on. Well, Jeff, obviously you and Joel both stepping into this project, which previously had two other great musicians with Jack Blades and Doug Aldridge.
Yep.
You've done this before, obviously. You've stepped into another project and kind of made it your own. How do you feel about Revolution Saints? Do you have like the same vibe as you do with Foreigner, where it feels like it's your thing now?
I have a very fortunate gift in that when I'm playing, doesn't matter who wrote it, doesn't matter where it came from, I'm in it. And I've been lucky. I mean, all my life, you know, and I think it came from, you know, when I was younger, I had to be in cover bands. I was in country bands, you know, I mean, I had to play a lot of music in my life, and I've always been able to just get into it regardless of what it is. Even if as a listener, it wouldn't be a song I necessarily like, when I'm playing it, I love it. So it sort of doesn't matter. So to answer your question, yes, I do feel similar in the way that I feel about Foreigner with Revolution Saints. The good thing about Revolution Saints for me is I have less responsibility than I do with other projects. I'm basically just the bass player on this thing. And that's really fun for me. And I'm playing with two such great musicians in Dean and Joel that it's just pure fun. And what right. better thing is there than that?
Right on. I've said this to Dean. I'll say it to you and you could tell me, I know you're going to agree with me, but Dean is arguably the most gifted singer that's not known as a singer. You know,
oh, absolutely.
How did he go the first 30 whatever years of his career without becoming a lead singer for a major project?
Well, number one, because he's such an amazing drummer.
That, right. You know, that,
and then number two, I think, and I'm purely speculating here, because we've never gone in depth. I mean, I've talked with him about this kind of thing, but we never went as far as I'm about to go, which is, I wonder if he felt his voice was kind of out of place in the whole heavy metal years, because he does have a Steve Perry thing about his sure. voice, but it's real and it's genuine. So maybe he felt out of place as a singer in the 90s or in the late 80s, or I don't know, I'm guessing. He also, personality-wise, I mean, he's such a great drummer, and he's so comfortable as a drummer that it probably was just something that, you know, he happened to be a great singer as well. And, you know, Neil Sean obviously, you know, knows that and lets him sure. sing, you know, on at Journey shows. So I would say you are absolutely right. He is the greatest, most gifted singer of people that is not known as a singer. But I think he is right up there with every other singer as far as being able to deliver, certainly emotionally. To me, his voice moves me, and that's the most important thing. Does it deliver the song, and does it move you? And he does that for me without fail every time.
Do you think, as somebody that was in that scene in the 80s and obviously toured the world with everybody, do you think that he could have been one of those true great singers in that style of music?
I mean he would be himself, and I think the way he's saying could have been appreciated at that point. And the only reason I was speculating is because there are very few reasons why somebody that great a voice wouldn't be a lead singer, and I was speculating that was one of them. But yes, had he come out in the late 80s doing what he does, I think people would have caught on and loved it. For whatever reason, he didn't. But and again, I think it's kind of like his drumming. It's a comparison that I make about Mick Jones and his guitar playing. Mick Jones is a great guitar player, underrated as a guitar player. But I think the reason is because his songwriting has been such a monumental thing that it just overshadows the guitar playing as far as people see. And those are, you know, those are happy problems to have.
Right. Exactly right. Well, Jeff, let's get into the record a little bit. I always try to start with what I consider to be the best song on the record, which is, you know, subjective, obviously. Yeah. For me, it's Fall on My Knees. Great song. It really stood out, and to be honest, didn't stand out because of you or Dean as much as Joel. His playing on that song is amazing. Talk a little bit about that song.
Well, I will agree with you. I believe Joel might have had something to do with the writing. I'm not sure if it was that song or not, but it might have been. Joel is a, you know, he's a legend in himself. You know, I mean, he's just a great overall musician. I mean, as far as guitar players go, people don't get better than Joel, you know.
Right.
he's as good as you can get. He's a great guy, he's a great writer, and yes, his contribution is phenomenal. I mean, the guy is he's another level on guitar. So I will agree with you there. I think that song is great as well, and sure, I credit a lot of that to Joel.
Sure. As somebody that's worked with a lot of great guitar players, do you have to treat each one individually? Meaning, you know, they're all temperamental. I'll say it. You don't have to, but I'll say it. All guitar players are very temperamental, and they all want, if they can wedge two more notes of a riff in, they all want that. That being said, do you go into approaching each guy as each guy, or do you go, especially more now that you're into the production aspect, do you go into it saying, I need this to fill this space? Can you write toward the song more than toward your skill?
Well, that is a, that would be something that would be done subjectively per song, okay. Not per guy. And, you know, I mean, I regard all musicians in the exact same way as, I want them as a producer, I want them to shine and feel comfortable and be able to perform to their max, whatever that be and however that may be achieved. And, you know, you're right. Each guy is different in his own way, but I try to take each guy's uniqueness and turn that into a strength, because I will say everybody that I work with has a unique strength. Now, I didn't have to produce Joel on this record, but his strengths are pretty obvious, and Alessandro obviously knows how to deal with Joel and his strength. I mean, when I work with George Lynch, we have such a natural chemistry and rapport that really it's all about just getting George in the zone, and then he'll deliver. You know, once he's in right. Once his sound is right and he's in the zone, he'll come through every time. Reb Beach, kind of the same thing. Get him a good sound, get him going so where he's not thinking, he's just feeling. All of a sudden, this amazing player comes out, you know. And I mean, Reb is very consistent and always great, but you got to get him in the, I mean, when you get him in the zone is when the magic happens. And that's kind of true for everyone. I mean, every guitar player I've ever worked with, they just have to get into the zone. I mean, Michael Schenker is really disciplined and a hard worker and all this other stuff, but even he has to be in this free-flying zone. I mean, my favorite Schenker stuff took place during jams that he and James Kotak and I would do when we just right. go freeform. I was like, that's Michael Schenker right there. And, you know, I mean, I didn't produce the Michael Schenker records either, but I mean, that's the, it's the zone. It's when they're in the moment. It's when they're totally free from thinking and they're just flowing. That's what I go for all musicians, and especially with guitar players.
Do you find that you still can keep it loose like that now that you have the production ear so heavily into your, you know, into your creation process?
Well, you know, there's the limitation of the fact that we tend to do the tracks separately. But the good thing is that like George and I collaborate together. We did do one record mobily, even though he lives down the street. But during the pandemic, when it was at its peak and when it was scariest, we actually did do our first heavy hitter records all remotely, which was interesting. We found a way to do it that was less invasive, but when we're working together, that's when the magic really, really comes together. And same with Reb, same with Robin McCauley. Yeah, I mean, it's all about that for me. So I would say that it's when you're collaborating, how do you achieve something that where the whole is bigger than the sum of its parts. Right. And that's what I always shoot for. And it's something you just kind of instinctively feel. Does it move me? Is it emotional? And I think that holds true for all aspects of music.
Right on, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Jeff, let's take a quick break here. Give people a taste of the music from Revolution Saints. I'm going to play the Against the Winds video. What can you tell me about this song in the video?
The song just, well, it was a really fun video for one thing. The videos have been very fun with Revolution Saints. And, you know, we have the theme going with the girl and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I will let listeners and viewers just, you know, make their own judgments on the video. I personally find it very fun and unique. So something kind of unique about it. What's the other thing I want to say? I just think it's a great example of the kind of music that Revolution Saints does that I think stands in its own category. I don't think there's anybody out there that does quite what we're doing, and I'm very proud of that.
All right. Well, let's check it out right now. It's Against the Winds. It is Revolution Saints, and you are watching Chris Aiken Presents. We'll be right back.
you want to watch the classic metal show all day long? Do you have a Roku? If your answers are yes and yes, then you need to get Wowza TV on your Roku. It's free to install and brings you the classic metal show on your TV 24/7. Just look up and install Wowza TV in the Roku streaming store, and you can enjoy the CMS all day and night right on your TV. Yes, folks, this includes the live editions of the CMS as well. Install Wowza TV now on your Roku and never be without the classic metal show again. Hail and kill.
Right back here on Chris Aiken Presents, that was Revolution Saints, and we are talking with the bassist of that band, Mr. Jeff Pilson, as well as the bassist of the next band we're going to speak on, The End Machine.
A new
release coming from The End Machine called The Quantum Phase. New singer. I don't want to say new sound, though, but definitely a new singer in there. So, Jeff, Why don't you tell us a little bit about The Quantum Phase and about Gearish coming into the band?
Sure. Well, Quantum Phase is the third End Machine record, and it's coming out March 8th. I'm extremely proud of it. The first single, Silent Winter, came out January 15th, and the response to that was just phenomenal. And I think a lot of that, I mean, George actually does a solo on it that is, in my mind, a masterpiece. But it also really displays our new singer, Girish Pradhan, who is, he's like an alien. I mean, he's just so amazing. His voice can do anything. And, you know, something that George and I found that really pleases is that he's a great writer, too. He really came through on the writing. And, you know, it was an involved process. He did do his vocals in India, which does make it difficult. But through MP3s, you know, back and forth and with Zoom calls and whatnot, we were able to communicate. You know, he had to do some rewrites on stuff, and his attitude about that was amazing. We're very fortunate to have him. He's a real special singer and real special writer. And again, I think the End Machine is firing on all cylinders. So I'm very excited for people to hear the whole record, Quantum Phase, because I think as a body of work, it really stands up. And I'm excited for people to hear it.
Right. For Gearish coming in, you know, anytime you change singers, it's difficult. And it's difficult to maintain the momentum that you had created without it sounding like a different band. It's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
But you guys did that on this. And I know you said that you did a lot of work back and forth. Did you guys purposely try to keep everything focused with what you had done previously so that it wouldn't feel disjointed toward the other records?
Maybe subconsciously, but here our goal was, you know, George and I in particular, you know, for years we kind of wanted to avoid any of the 80s things that we did that we naturally kind of come up with. And, you know, there was like a mental block about that kind of stuff for years. And we've let go of that. And we've come to a new place where let's just do what we do. Let's just come up with music that we love. And so the music that we came up with, we just let it flow and let it be what it was. And I think Girish is... because he comes from that world, that's where he's, you know, he was a fan of that kind of thing. He just, his writing fits so well that it just naturally blended together perfectly. And he delivered what the music needed. And so naturally, I think we kind of maintained the sound. And again, we didn't really have to try to do that. I think that's what happened. Just happened right. Naturally.
Sure. I got to ask you about Steve Brown as well. I'm just going to tell you, as a fan, I see these videos and I'm like, is this a TNN reunion or is this some sort of a docket thing? He looks and plays so much like Mick. It's scary.
You're damn right. when we were doing the videos, there were so many times George and I would look at each other, and I know we're both thinking, wow, this is so deja vu spooky almost, you know, because it's not like he tries. I mean, he's just been following Mick. You know, he was a kid, you know, he was his kid brother. So it sort of just naturally happened with him. And wow. But I mean, he, How could we get a better, I mean, better replacement for Mick Brown than Steve? I mean, he is frighteningly plays like him, sings like him, looks like him. And he's just a great guy. Steve is, you know, Tesla's lucky, we're lucky.
Right on. Tell me about the song Black Hole Extinction, which is definitely, I've only had the record for like 2 days, so I'm not going to pretend that I've listened to it 40 times, but two times through, Black Hole Extinction jumped out at me. What can you tell me about that song?
Well, I think it's safe to say that Girish and George and I, that's our favorite song.
Okay.
I can just tell you that I find, and Girish wrote the chorus to that, you know, lyrically and melodically. And when he came up with that, it was like, wow. Honestly, that song, as we were recording the song and certainly doing the music, I viewed that as being like, that'll be like the cool heavy track midway through the record, you know, that really gets heavy and crazy and everything.
Right.
But then when he came up with that really catchy chorus, it's and the verses are great, and all of a sudden it became like a pop metal song in a sort of sense that I think is just, I love that song. I think it really shows who we are. I believe we're coming up with either some kind of a lyric video or something for it, but something will be coming out with that song. Again, to me, it's my favorite song on the record, but it sets up the whole record really beautifully, and I'm very excited about it.
Sure. Now, Jeff, obviously with both of these bands, I think every member of both of these bands has other bands, and and not only do they have other bands, but everybody is super busy right now. You obviously have this huge Foreigner tour, Journey's on the 50th anniversary tour, George is on the final Lynch Mob tour, Tesla Never Stops tour. I mean, Joel's doing Accept for the summer. You guys are busier than busy can be. Is there any chance that we're going to be able to see a show, let alone, I'm not even going to ask about a string of shows, but is there any chance that either of these bands will give us a show or two somewhere down the road?
Well, I mean, to answer your question, the desire is there. And with the End Machine, we are really trying to talk about trying to get something together to do something live. I don't know exactly what it would be, but we'd love to do it. And I know Frontiers would love to record a live DVD, you know, and get the End Machine doing some of our music. And I'd love to hear the End Machine doing some Dawkins stuff. That sure would be pretty incredible. So we're working on it. We're trying. George and I may have better schedules in 2025 because this is the last year that Foreigner is going to do a 9-month long tour. You know, I leave February 29th and essentially I'm gone till Thanksgiving. So a lot of Foreigner touring this year, but the schedule does open up in 2025. So maybe we can do something. You brought it up. The logistics are really difficult, next to impossible.
Sure.
So I don't hold out a lot of hope, but at the same time, we are trying, we're working on it. There's pressure to do it. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Right on. And one last question before we wrap up. Obviously, the biggest projects that you have been involved in are ending. You know, Foreigner ending. Don has said he's going to, you know, he says it every year, but Don has said he's going to retire. Lynch is retiring. Lynch Mob. I know you've had back issues as well. Do you ever contemplate full stop, I'm going to be engineer guy from now on?
Well, engineer producer,
right,
and hopefully songwriter. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I can definitely see, I did have pretty major back surgery 2.5 months ago, I'm still, you know, working on the recovery and physical therapy and everything. So yes, of course I see that at some point. I can see staying in here forever, which is kind of my dream. This is my home.
Right.
So yes, I see that. I certainly see less touring in my future. I don't know about stopping entirely. Who knows? I mean, you know, maybe when I'm in my 70s, we'll see. But which isn't that far away. So, but you know, I at this point, at this point, I see it winding down more than a total stop.
Okay. Can you slow down on stage? And the reason I'm bringing this up, and I've said this to you before, even in Foreigner, you're thrashing like you're in a metal band. You're thrashing like you did in Dio, even if it's, you know, hot-blooded or something that's not quite as heavy. I can't fathom you being comfortable strumming because of back issues or neck issues or any of that. I can only see you as a thrash guy on stage, a thrashing type of a musician. Could you slow down to give yourself more time on stage?
I don't know. That's kind of the question that lurks in front of me. I mean, when I start up on March 1st, the doctor, it's kind of doctor's orders. The doctor said, you've got to start seated. You can't go 0 to 60 here. You know, you got to start seated. So that was a huge disappointment to me when the doctors first told me that. But I saw the wisdom in it. So I'm going to be seated for a while, which is hard. It's against every one of my performing instincts. But when I come back, I will find out. Because right now I can walk 10 or 15 minutes before it's a little really difficult. So a whole night on stage, I guess I'm still a ways away from that. We'll see. But I want to start rocking as soon as I can. And you know, I mean, will I be able to do it in a less... I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. I don't think so. I think when I come back, which is why my back has to be ready. And I've been trying to do the physical therapy as much. I mean, I've been really good about it. And I am getting stronger. But we will see. I mean, I'll be able to answer that question better later in the spring.
I guess we could just watch YouTube and see, right? It'll tell us.
Yes.
Nice. Well, Jeff, obviously, man, you have two great projects that are out and obviously a super tour, with Foreigner coming, Revolution Saints, Against the Winds, The End Machine, Quantum Phase. Where should we tell people to go to keep up with the releases and you and tour dates and all that stuff?
Where should we go? Well, you can go to my Instagram. I'm the real Jeff Pilson. I believe that's what I am. I'm on Twitter, or X, as I guess it's known now. Facebook, there's the Jeff Pilson fan page. Please come to that. And foreigneronline.net. So, or is it foreigneronline.com? I'm spacing. It's either net or .com. I forget. But anyway, try them both. Yes. And you can go there. And like I say, the real Jeff Pilson on Instagram. I know that's right. So come to those places. The Jeff Pilson fan page on Facebook would be a great place. So see you there.
All right. Well, we are going to see you right now with the video for Killer of the Night. It is The End Machine. And Jeff, as always, thanks for joining me here on Chris Aiken Presents.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The internet has changed the game to where you don't need millions of dollars to own your own viable radio or TV station. A good concept and a great streaming platform are all you need. We've got that platform for you. Unkit Drunk Noise is the best place to stream your very own online radio or TV station. We offer 24/7 scheduling, on-demand options, the ability to go live on your channels, and much, much more. Sell and plug in your own advertisements within your programming as you see fit. Our stations are fully licensed and legal. It's all here for you, so get started today. Just visit www.uncontrolledNoise.com and let us know you are ready to broadcast. Uncontrolled Noise, your best place for online radio and television stations.